It is another smoky day on the West Coast, so we continue to keep this matter in our prayers. We're at the 15th Sunday after Pentecost. Perhaps you have heard or you recall the phrase, "Christians were sliding to hell on our butts." Lord, I was planning to come to church on a regular basis, but Lord, I'm going to stop gossiping about this person, but you get the idea. Thankfully, the Lord is more than just good intentions. He acts on his intentions. Case in point, the promising and sending of his only Son. And it is because of this Son we can find forgiveness for the good intentions, but we did not act on them. To God be the glory then, as we focus in on God carrying out his good intentions. But that is not to be an excuse for us not carrying out the will of God. More on this as we continue with the worship of our God and celebrate his goodness once again. You can find the bulletin, if you haven't already, on our website under the media link or under the Staying Connected to God's Word link. It's also sent out each week to those who are on our email list. If you'd like to be on that list, please contact our church office. To God be the glory as we now turn our attention to our opening hymn. It's from Christian Worship, a Lutheran hymnal, number 234. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you.
Amen.
Let all within me praise the Lord. We continue with these responsive sentences from Lamentations 3. This I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail.
They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness.
I say to myself, the Lord is my portion, therefore I will wait for him. The Lord is good to those whose hope is in him, to the one who seeks him. Though he brings grief, he will show compassion.
So great is his unfailing love.
For he does not willingly bring affliction or grief to the children of men.
Let us examine our ways and test them, and let us return to the Lord.
We have come into the presence of God, who created us to love and serve Him as His dear children. But we have disobeyed Him and deserve only His wrath and punishment. Therefore, let us confess our sins to Him and plead for His mercy.
Merciful Father in heaven, I am altogether sinful from birth. In countless ways I have sinned against you and do not deserve to be called your child. But trusting in Jesus, my Savior, I pray. Have mercy on me according to your unfailing love. Cleanse me from my sin and take away my guilt.
God, our Heavenly Father, has forgiven all your sins. By the perfect life and innocent death of our Lord Jesus Christ, He has removed your guilt forever. You are His own dear child. May God give you strength to live according to His will.
Amen.
Let us pray. O Lord Jesus Christ, preserve the congregation of believers with your never-failing mercy. Help us avoid whatever is wicked and harmful, and guide us in the way that leads to our salvation.
For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Our first lesson on this Sunday comes to us from the book of Judges, the 16th chapter, where we see God's mercy truly evident in the life of Samson. And as we look at our own lives, we see His mercy is truly evident. We hear these words: "But the hair on his head began to grow again after it had been shaved. Now the rulers of the Philistines assembled to offer a great sacrifice to Dagon, their god, and to celebrate, saying, 'Our God has delivered Samson, our enemy, into our hands.' When the people saw him, they praised their god, saying, 'Our God has delivered our enemy into our hands, the one who laid waste our land and multiplied our slain.' While they were in high spirits, they shouted, 'Bring out Samson to entertain us.' So they called Samson out of the prison, and he performed for them. When they stood him among the pillars, Samson said to the servant who held his hand, 'Put me where I can feel the pillars that support the temple, so that I may lean against them.' Now the temple was crowded with men and women. All the rulers of the Philistines were there, and on the roof were about 3,000 men and women watching Samson perform. Then Samson prayed to the Lord, 'Sovereign Lord, remember me. Please, God, strengthen me just once more, and let me with one blow get revenge on the Philistines for my two eyes.' Then Samson reached toward the two central pillars on which the temple stood, bracing himself against them, his right hand on the one and his left hand on the other. Samson said, 'Let me die with the Philistines.' Then he pushed with all his might, and down came the temple on the rulers and all the people in it. Thus he killed many more when he died than while he lived. Then his brothers and his father's whole family went down to get him. They brought him back and buried him between Zorah and Eshtol in the tomb of Manoah, his father. He had led Israel 20 years. The word of the Lord. We turn now to our psalm, Psalm 73.
Thank you.
One of many questions to ask ourselves as we hear our second lesson from Galatians chapter 6. One question to ask at this time, do customs bring us any closer to God? Let's hear what the Apostle Paul was led to write by inspiration. Those who want to impress people by means of the flesh are trying to compel you to be circumcised. The only reason they do this is to avoid being persecuted for the cross of Christ. Not even those who are circumcised keep the law, yet they want you to be circumcised that they may boast about your circumcision in the flesh. May I never boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. Neither circumcision nor uncircumcision means anything. What counts is the new creation. Peace and mercy to all who follow this rule, to the Israel of God, the word of the Lord. The gospel reading is from Matthew chapter 16. What have you had to forego for the sake of Jesus? Ponder that as you hear these words. From that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and that he must be killed, and on the third day be raised to life. Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. Never, Lord, he said. This shall never happen to you. Jesus turned and said to Peter, Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. You do not have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns. Then Jesus said to his disciples, Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will find it. What good will it be for someone to gain the whole world, yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul? This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise be to you, O Christ. Our hymn of the day is Christian Worship, number 465, Jesus, I my cross have taken. Grace, mercy, and peace be yours in great abundance. And this is possible from God our Father through our risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear fellow redeemed, we hear these words once again from our second lesson for today, Galatians chapter 6. The Apostle Paul writes, "May I never boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world." This is God's word, we pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Again, dear fellow redeemed, by that rock and redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ, and through the working of the Holy Spirit using the means of grace, brings us and keeps us in that one true faith. Who doesn't boast about some accomplishment in his or her life? Boasting has become a part of life ever since the fall into sin. There is boasting, which can be taken in the right light. And then there is boasting, which is connected to pride. The individual wants to puff up his or her ego or draw attention to him or herself. It doesn't matter if the setting is in the family or in the workplace or in a sports team or even here in the church. Boasting has become a part of life. The Bible talks about boasting. There is the boasting that is shameful, and the boasting in what is temporary. And then there is the boasting which is proper, and the boasting in what is truly life-changing. The Apostle Paul was led to capture proper boasting and to do such boasting in his own life. And by inspiration, he encourages you and me as God's people to do such proper boasting as well. And here it is. Jesus gives you and me, all believers, something to boast about. In a nutshell, it is this. It is his cross. And connected to his cross, that he also gives us something to boast about, it is putting his word into practice. Jesus truly does give us something to boast about. And it's rooted right there in his cross. His cross is something we need. Look around us. Listen to the news. You don't even have to listen to the news. Just use your eyes and your ears. What do we see taking place all around us, day in and day out? What do we see taking place in our own hearts? We see sin evident all around us, and the consequences of sin. The Bible makes it very clear why we have illnesses of various kinds, why there are natural disasters of various kinds, why people die. It's a result of sin in the world. Sin comes with consequences, and one of the consequences, Romans 6 emphasizes, the wages of sin is death. Physical death, spiritual death, eternal death. And we have to look in the mirror ourselves to see that we too are guilty of sin, and there are consequences of sin in our life. Some of that sin comes in the form of good intentions, but then we don't carry those intentions out. Especially when they're related to God in our relationship with Him. Such as, Lord, I want to be a follower of You, a student follower of You. I have good intentions to do so. But You do nothing about those intentions. Lord, I want to stop talking about people in a negative way. But you find yourself continually doing that. It's like the eighth commandment never existed. And then there are the good intentions that are associated with worship. You know, there's a reason why God puts in the Bible several times, "I desire mercy, not sacrifice," because He knows we human beings cannot help ourselves. We set up all these rules and customs, and we ourselves don't always follow the rules and customs. Case in point, the Pharisees in Jesus' day and the Apostle Paul's day, the religious leaders of that day, set up all these rules and customs for the people to follow in worship and out of worship. But they themselves, they couldn't even remember them all, did not put such rules into practice. And yet they tried to bind the consciences of others. And how often do we do that today with our own rules for worship, or even our rules inside the home and in the workplace, where we bind people's consciences unnecessarily? Christ died to set us free. And yet how often do we try to bind people under the law again? So the cross of Christ is definitely necessary, and we have it by the grace of God. By God's grace, His mercy, His compassion, we have the source of forgiveness that we need for all of our sins, for all the good intentions that we have failed to carry out. Talk about grace in action. The proof of it in the promising and sending of His only Son. God not only had a good intention, He carried it out for our benefit, the benefit of all people of all time. And through this cross that we are to boast about, we have forgiveness. We have forgiveness not by something that we have to do in addition to or in the place of the cross. We have forgiveness simply through the cross of Christ. "It is finished," Jesus declared from the cross. Our sin has been paid for. Our relationship with God doesn't have to be severed any longer. But through Christ, the mediator, we can have a relationship with God now and into eternity. So as Paul says, by inspiration, if we're going to boast about something that truly matters, boast about something that is truly life-changing, boast about the cross of Christ. Jesus has given us something to boast about. It is His cross, something we need and something we have by grace. And it is something then that moves us to put His word into practice. And again, when we put His word into practice, that is a rightful boasting. Again, because the focus is not look at me, but rather look at Christ through our words and through our actions. And that's why good intentions matter. Not just having good intentions, but fulfilling those good intentions. Blessed are they who hear the word of God and obey it, who don't just have the intention of obeying it, but actually do it. But again, we know what's going to happen. We're going to fall short of those intentions and desire to put the will of God into practice. We're going to take God's word and we're going to add to it and subtract to it and change it with good intentions. God help us recognize when we do such and then draw us right back to His cross where we have forgiveness. And then the proper motive to again look at back at God's word and develop our intentions once again and by His grace and strength put those intentions into practice. It's important that we be Bible students of the Word for life. Because there are many deceivers out and about using the Bible to deceive. There are deceivers in the church and outside of the church. Romans 16 reminds us for good reason to watch our doctrine closely, together with the words of Timothy, so that we don't fall over stumbling blocks. Rather, hold on to sound teaching. And that's what Paul was addressing in chapter 1 of Galatians. You know, he's writing to those believers, "Who has bewitched you so quickly? You're abandoning the cross of Christ and putting the focus back on what you have to do and your works. And look at me, I'm such a good Christian because of what I do, and surely God's got to be proud of me because of what I do." No, it's not because of what you do. It's because of what Christ has done, His Son. So Jesus gives us something truly to boast about. It is His cross. And it is His cross then that moves us to put His word into practice, to be students of the Bible for life, so that we do not be easily deceived by those inside and outside of the church who try to twist God's word, even with their good intentions. And we be students of life, of the word for life, so that we know what God's word and will is. For example, look at Galatians 5 and 6 later on during the week. Read those words carefully, time and time again during the week, and ask God to help you put those words into practice. How there is a battle taking place inside of us. The sinful nature desires one thing, but the new man in us, guided by the Spirit, desires something else. And the fruits of the Spirit are obvious, and they're laid out for us there. And how we do have a concern for and a desire to help those in need, especially our Christian brothers. We are reminded to do good to all, especially to the family of believers. And what we're going through right now in our time, plenty of opportunity to do good, to offer up words of encouragement, to have good intentions of wanting to help somebody. Well, carry out on that. Donate items. Donate money if you cannot donate items. People are in need of help. People are in need of Jesus. And so Jesus gives us something truly to boast about in His cross and through His word. By not only being a student of that word, but also putting that word into practice. And as we do, we then have a clear conscience. There's a peace that comes with a clear conscience of not having to worry about tracking what lie I said, but rather sticking with the truth. There's a peace that comes with not feeling like we have to earn God's favor by how many works we do, but rather simply focusing and holding on to the cross of Christ through which we do have forgiveness and new life and eternal life. And with all that then comes a desire to set an example for those around us. Putting that word into practice, the motive is clear. The love of Christ compels us. In view of God's mercy, offer yourself as a living sacrifice to God. Look out for the needs of others. See what you can do to be of help. And again, as we've said, look for opportunities to share what people truly need, and that is Jesus and His cross. Because the things of this world, as we see once again, are temporary. Not minimizing the loss of anyone that they are enduring, but a harsh reminder again of how this life is temporary and doesn't give us something to boast about that matters. But the cross of Christ does. Because it matters not just for today, but without end. And it's nothing that fires or COVID or anything else can take from us. So Paul was correct when he was led by inspiration to boast about the cross of Christ and to encourage us to boast about this cross as well. In fact, we are created in Christ Jesus to do good works. And part of that good work is to boast about His cross, and to put sinful ways behind us. Because connected to the cross, that's what we are empowered to do. So, dear friends, boasting about the things of life, it is temporary and pointless when all is said and done. Boasting about something that matters, not just for this life, but without end, that is something to not keep to ourselves. Jesus gives us something to boast about. It is His cross. It is putting His word into practice in light of His cross. So blessing on your boasting in Him. Amen. The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard and keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Let's confess our Christian faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. They're on page 8 of the worship bulletin.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. We continue with the prayer of the church. Lord God, our Maker and Preserver, we praise and thank you for all that you give us day after day. We are not worthy of all the mercies you show us. You have given us your precious word to nourish our souls and to protect us from the temptations of the devil, the world, and our sinful nature. We thank you for those who teach and preach your saving truth at this place and everywhere. Grant them a rich measure of patience, wisdom, and love. Heavenly Father, we pray that you shield us from every kind of danger, sudden catastrophe, terrors of crime, and the pain of disease. Watch over those who travel by land, sea, and air. Keep our loved ones from whatever perils may threaten them. Heal those who are sick, cheer those who are sad, calm those who are distressed, and comfort all who are old and infirm. Bless our land, our people, and those old offices of high trust. Keep our government and schools upright and strong for the advancement of good citizenship and useful vocations, that we may enjoy your gifts of peace, security, and well-being.
Grant your blessing to every nation on earth. Where there are wars, may there be peace. Where there is hatred, let it be healed. Where there is poverty, danger, or disaster, come with your almighty power to help and restore. Lord, you love the cheerful giver, who with open heart and hand blesses freely as a river that refreshes all the land. Grant us then the grace of giving with a spirit large and true, that our life and all our living we may consecrate to you. Lord, giver of life, both physical and spiritual, we thank you for the hope, comfort, and peace we are able to receive from your word as we mourn the earthly passing of Bev Hynitz. Thank you for the opportunity to share the victory Jesus has won, which death has no mastery over. Comfort Ed and the family and the friends through your word. Help them be your witnesses during this time of grief, and yet also a time of celebrating the victory we have in Jesus. Bring renewed daily strength, physical and spiritual, to Jan Bahanami and Elaine Harmel, as both received medical treatment this past week. Continue to refresh them with your firm promises, as they know you are with them always. Bring comfort and healing, along with the ability to rebuild, to those who have suffered devastation due to the wildfires. Bring healing to the land, your creation, being burned and scarred. Renew the energy and resolve of those fighting the fires. Keep them from harm. Help us learn lessons through these disasters and move us to acts of kindness. And for those celebrating a birthday this week, continue to have your blessings be evident in their lives. And continue to deepen the love and commitment of those celebrating a wedding anniversary. Now hear us, Lord, as we bring you our private petitions.
We bring these requests before you in the name of Jesus our Lord and ask you to hear us. Take all that we have, our bodies and minds, our time and skills, our ministries and offerings, and use them to your glory. We give ourselves to you that we may serve you in whatever way is pleasing in your sight. Amen. And we also pray, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. We hear the song, Is He Worthy?
He does.
We pray. O Lord God, our Heavenly Father, pour out the Holy Spirit on your faithful people. Keep us strong in your grace and truth. Protect and comfort us in all temptation. And bestow on us your saving peace. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow.
Brothers and sisters, go in peace, live in harmony with one another, serve the Lord with gladness. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace.
Amen. Amen.
Just to highlight a few announcements, Bible studies can be found online. You can find the Personalizing Salvation Law and Gospel Bible Study online. We do that on Sunday mornings, and also then for Sunday school and children and families, you can find the materials online as well under that Staying Connected to God's Word link. And again, those links are either on the website or also sent out by the email each week. So if you want to get on that email list, please contact the church office. For other Bible studies and events taking place, please see the weekly news also found under those links. Bev Heinitz Victory Service is scheduled for this Thursday at 10 o'clock. Just in the weekly news, a correction regarding the LWMS, regarding the duties. The secretary also has some of those duties that are listed, so the vice president is not having to do all those things. So keep that in mind as we're not nominating positions for the LWMS offices locally. The duties are split up. Next Sunday, we do plan to have a congregation meeting. It will be held where we have our outdoor service, so keep that in mind. It'll take the place of Bible study right after worship. This is the first of series in meetings that we will plan to have, as there are many items that need our attention at this time. The council is looking forward to your input as we try to poise ourselves for the ministry, not just for today, but also going forward. Have a great day in the Lord. Before we close this out, we'll watch our Wells connection.
Hi, I'm Wells President Mark Schrader. 2020 has certainly been a challenging year, but that's nothing new for God's people. The Bible's full of stories of hardship, flood, famine, and persecution. This life will always have difficulty, but challenges create opportunities to serve a world that's suffering, a world in need of Christ's love that flows from the gospel message.
We ask that through this you can help us to share love with our neighbors, to share that number one most important thing with them, the love of your Son, Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Today is a day for action at Mount Lebanon Lutheran Church as members fan out into the community to clean up trash. A very visible way to show the neighborhood that this congregation cares.
With everything going on with COVID, this is our way of letting everyone know that we're still here.
And there's a lot of unrest and pain in people's hearts right now, and we're trying to find, with some of the things that we're doing, trying to find some really tangible ways that we can show the love of Jesus to people.
I think it's really important to put the focus on Jesus. He is still in control. He reigns. And just to let people know he cares about them just as he always has.
The cleanup is just one of many ways Mount Lebanon is serving its community in these difficult times. The church also organized a special food delivery to more than 100 families in need.
It's just a really neat way to show love to our community and to all our friends that are around our church to say, hey, we're here for you and we love you and we want to help take care of you.
Then when we do invite them to church, which we try to do with each of these events too, it gives them a little bit more buy-in to say, this is a church in my community that maybe I want to be a part of.
For other congregations, the need to think outside the box stretches even further. Here in Dallas, the congregations at Calvary and Prince of Peace teamed up to redesign their joint vacation Bible school to work online. Families began by picking up VBS materials at a festive drive-thru decorated with a rainforest theme.
We had music playing, people holding signs. We encouraged the parents to bring their kids along in the car so that they could be part of the fun.
Are you excited for VBS? You're gonna have fun.
In the VBS bag, we had 5 individual days all packaged up and prepared for them so each day they could enjoy it.
This VBS experience included online lessons.
This is our science activity. If you have these materials at home, you are more than welcome.
Craft projects and stories from the Bible.
Not even the nurses or doctors could heal these men of their sickness. But Jesus could heal these men.
It's been amazing to see this army of support come out from our congregation, of volunteers, young and old, men, women, children. I think it's this wonderful opportunity that God is giving us. He's teaching us to be innovative. He's teaching us to work together, teamwork. He's teaching us to trust Him. It's like faith boot camp.
In past years, the VBS here has been limited by available facility space. But moving online allowed the congregations to reach more children. 310 youngsters hearing about Jesus this year in the middle of the pandemic. It's evidence that God uses difficult times to grow His church.
There's no shortage of examples of how God can use very challenging times for His purposes. Think of the rapid expansion of Christianity in communist China, or the first century Christians who faced widespread persecution, yet the church grew exponentially. It's a reminder that Jesus remains in control no matter how chaotic our world appears.